the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Everyone, therefore, who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. We cannot come to Christ unless God draws us. Do you see that in John chapter 6, verse 44? No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. But don't stop there. In verse 45, Jesus tells us how God draws us. It is written to the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone, therefore, who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So that shows us that we have a part also in this. God's part is He teaches us how we are to come to His Son. Our part is that we must hear and learn and come to Christ in the way that He teaches. So God has His part in our conversion. He draws us to Christ by the Word He's given us. We have our part in turning to Christ. There's something that we must do in order to turn to Him, in order to come to Him. Well, what are those things that we must do? We know that God teaches us. What are those things that we must do in order to come to Christ and to be saved, receive salvation, the remission of our sins? Well, I want to compare conversion to Christ to a young man falling in love with a young woman and winning her and deciding to get married and then actually getting married and becoming a married man. Now, there's four essential changes that he will go through in going from a confirmed bachelor to being a married man. The first thing he's going to have to go through is a change of heart. He's going to have to decide there's a young woman that he has such an attraction to that he's willing to give up his independence and stop just doing whatever he wants to do and become a married man who has obligations to a family. And that involves, of course, a change of his heart. And if there's really that change of heart that is there, there's going to be a change of life. He's going to, before he even gets married, he's going to quit just doing whatever he wants to do. And he's going to start doing things that he'd really rather not do in order to be with her and to win her to him. He may go to some events he'd really rather not go to, you know, like an opera or something like that, that he'd really just rather miss entirely. He may go to something like that, even though he has to sit there and frown real bad within himself, but not outwardly. While all of that's going on, because he has had a change of heart, and that change of heart has led to a change of life, and he's going to do some things in order to win that young woman's affection. But he's going to have to go through something else. Some young men have a real hard time settling down and making a commitment, as they say, and decided, I'm going to give my life to one young woman. I'm not going to shop around and date just anybody I want to. He's going to have a change in his loyalty. Now, that loyalty, if he's already a mature young man, it won't involve so much giving up loyalty to his parents. He may have already moved out from them and not under their roof anymore. But he's going to have to change a loyalty where his loyalty is given to one woman, and that for the rest of their lives, as we say, as long as they both do live. You're going to have that loyalty, or he'll never make the kind of married man that we read about in the Bible that God teaches that a man should be. But even when all of that's taken place, he's still not a married man. He's going to have to undergo a change in relationship. He's going to have to get married. And when he undergoes that change in relationship, then he has gone from that state of being a confirmed bachelor to being a married man with family obligations. See, there's four steps that take place there. And those same four steps take place in one coming to Christ, receiving salvation and forgiveness of sins. And we want to see that each of those four steps is plainly taught in the Scriptures as being a part of what we do. Now, we know what God does. He leads us to Christ. Christ died for us. God leads us to Christ through His Word. What is our part in coming to Him, giving our lives to Christ, becoming a Christian, receiving the forgiveness of sins, and our salvation. Well, let's see first of all that we have to have a change in our heart. In Acts chapter 16, we read the example of the conversion of a woman named Lydia. She was a businesswoman from the city of Thyatira. We read some things about her and what happened to her and what she did in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Now, a certain woman named Lydia was a seller of purple. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Now, notice what happened. Who worshiped God, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. In order for Lydia to come to Christ, to be converted, to receive her soul salvation, receive forgiveness of sins, she had to have her heart changed. She had to have her heart opened. Now, I'm not going to take the time to go into detail on this now because of lack of time, but when we studied the case of Lydia, the conversion of Lydia, we found that this is the one case of conversion in the book of Acts where there's a number of examples of salvation, cases of conversion, where it tells how the Apostle Paul was led to come in contact with this person and how that God, in His good providence and some of the things He did miraculously, brought the Apostle Paul from over in Asia Minor and brought him over for the first time onto the European continent, to Macedonia, to the city of Philippi, and there brought him in contact with this woman so that he could preach the gospel. And in that way, God opened her heart in that. He brought the preacher of the gospel into contact with her so that she could hear what she needed to do and believe in order to be saved. But when Paul preached to her, then something happened to her heart. And what was that? Well, that change of heart, it actually involves being led to believing in Jesus Christ and then the things that we do as the result of believing in Christ. Another case of conversion that is recorded in the book of Acts is the case of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius was a Roman soldier. He was a centurion, which of course is a captain over 100 men. His conversion recorded there in Acts 10, but it's repeated in other places. And in Acts chapter 15, when the apostles and the elders of the church of Jerusalem had gathered together to consider whether or not Gentiles had to be circumcised to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved, the apostle Peter rose to tell people that there's no need for Gentiles to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses to be saved. And the evidence they brought was Cornelius, the Roman soldier who had been led to Christ by the preaching of the apostle Peter. Notice what he says about it in Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. This is Acts 15, verses 8 and 9. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as He did to us, and made no distinction between us and them. This is between the Jew and the Gentile, purifying their hearts by faith. So how are our hearts purified from the guilt of sin? It's through faith. So God's Word must be proclaimed to us, or we must study God's Word. In some way, we must come in contact with the Word of God, whether it's by reading it or hearing it. But as the result of that, it leads us to faith in Jesus Christ, and it's by that faith in Jesus Christ that we have a change in our hearts, and as the result, our hearts by that faith are purified. Faith is simply believing. It's two different ways of saying the same thing. And we must be led to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, by the study of the evidence in His Word and find out what He wants us to do in order to be saved. But faith is not all there is to it. There are steps after faith that we must go through in order to be led to Christ. We also not only have to have that change of heart, we must have a change in our lives. Just as that fellow who's going to get married first falls in love with the young woman. and decides he wants to marry her. But if he keeps on living the way he'd lived, running around with the other guys and ignoring her, he's never going to be a married man, is he? He's going to have a change in the way that he lives. And so we have to have a change of heart that leads to a change in the way that we live. And that's what Jesus made clear in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. Again, this is going back to our text, but now we're going to go down through verse 4, Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted," so you have to be converted, have to turn or be turned, "and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now notice the change in life. "Whoever therefore humbles himself," see, there's a change in the way that we live. When you're not a Christian, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you may be a proud person. You may be too proud to humble yourself in obedience to what somebody else tells you to do. You may be one who does not want to bring his will into submission to Jesus Christ. But if you're going to be converted to Christ, you're going to have to change your life to be a humble person. One who is willing to let Jesus Christ order every part of your life. And therefore, he says in verse 4, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So there must be a change in the way that we live. And that change of life is the result of repentance. Repentance is actually a change in our hearts. A change, that's where I point to when I said heart. I didn't point down here to the blood pump in my chest. I point up here to my head where we think and where we understand and where we believe or fail to believe. That's the Bible heart. And there has to be a change in that heart that will lead us to have a change in life. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, Jesus said, "The men of Nineveh will rise in judgment with this generation and will condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." Now Jesus, of course, was the one greater than the prophet Jonah. Now you remember the story, I hope you do, of the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament book of Jonah, the prophet Jonah, and how God commanded him to go to Nineveh, and he ran away from God, but then God made him to come back, of course, by the shipwreck, he was thrown overboard in the storm and swallowed by a great fish and then vomited out on the land, and then he went with God and he went to Nineveh, which was the capital of the great kingdom of Assyria, the greatest kingdom in the world at the time of Jonah. And he did not want to preach to the Assyrians. He wanted them to be lost and to be destroyed. He didn't like the Assyrians. They were causing lots of trouble to the Israelites. But nonetheless, he went to them and he preached to them. And the result of his preaching to them, Jesus says that they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Well, what did they do when they repented at the preaching of Jonah? We'll turn to Jonah chapter 3, look at verse 10. And you'll see what they did when they repented at the preaching of Jonah. "Then God saw their works," notice carefully please, "that they turned from their evil way." That's repentance. When in your mind you make up your mind, "My life is going to change. I've been doing whatever I want to do, but I'm changing my ways. I'm going to do what God tells me to do." Then you've changed your mind that will lead to a change in your life. Just like that fellow who wants to win a young woman's love, he may give up going to the football games or the basketball games and going hunting and fishing every time he wants to in order to be with her. But he's first going to have to make up his mind that he's willing to make that change in his life in order to win her love. And you're going to have to make up your mind that I'm willing to change everything that needs to be changed in my life in order to submit my will to the will of Jesus Christ. And so God saw their works, they turned from their evil way, and he relented of the disaster that he said that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And so that's the result of a change of heart that leads to a change of life. And if you're going to be converted to Christ, not only do you need to change your heart as the result of faith, but you need to change the way that you live. Now, you may not be that bad a person, but if you're not a Christian, probably what you're doing is living the way you want to live. And you see, the way you want to live may be pretty much the way God wants you to live, or it may not be. But it doesn't matter as far as your conversion, because you've got to make up your mind, and that's repentance. You've got to change your mind and say, I'm going to quit doing what I want to do, and I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And when you make up your mind to do that, that you've repented, and the result will be that you will change your life. You'll live a different kind of a life. But that's not all there is to it. Because, you see, there's more to being converted than believing and repenting. Look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The Apostle Peter, in the second recorded sermon by the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 3, commanded, this actually is the theme of the sermon found there in Acts chapter 3. He says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Notice, repent. Is that all there is to? And be converted. Conversion follows repentance. So repentance is necessary to your conversion, but there's more to conversion than believing and repenting. There's something that follows that. Well, you know what? That young man is trying to win the love of that young woman. He's now changed his heart. He's in love with the young woman. And that led him to change the way that he lives. He's being with her even though she likes to do things that he doesn't particularly care about doing, but he likes to be with her. So he's willing to do those things. But he's got to be willing to stop playing the field and to make the commitment that I want to spend the rest of my life with this one young woman and nobody else, and I'm going to be loyal to her. And as I say when I perform a wedding ceremony, forsaking all others, till death do you part. And if he's not willing to make that commitment, he's not ready to get married, and he'll remain a bachelor until he's, at least I won't perform the wedding ceremony, until he's willing to make that commitment, forsaking all others, until death do you part. And we've got to have a change in our loyalty. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, the Apostle Paul, telling the Thessalonians about their faithfulness, says, for they themselves, talking about where the gospel had gone from Thessalonica, declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living God. They had been loyal to their idols, but they turned away from those idols and they turned to God. That's conversion. And their loyalty is no longer to those idols that they once worshipped. Now their loyalty is to God. How you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You know, there's something that I did all the time. I was going to school. When I taught school, I had the children do this. I think my daughter still has the children do this each morning in class. In order to show that we're loyal Americans, the children would stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And I think Michelle still does that in her class. Even though that's not PC, as we said, nonetheless, it's the right thing to do in the United States of America. We stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. And that's a statement of our loyalty. And by the way, when a young man gets married, I'm going to have, if I'm the one performing the wedding ceremony, there's some things that he'll have to promise to do. And that's not limited to forsaking all others, death of your part, but it includes that. And she's going to have to make the same promise. There's going to be a statement of our loyalty to one another. And do you know what? There's something like that in turning to Christ. It's the confession of our faith in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're not willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I'm not willing to baptize you. You have to have that statement of loyalty. I believe that He is the Christ. And as the Christ, of course, He's Lord of lords and King of kings, the promised Savior of the world. And if you're not willing to state that, I don't know your heart, God does. But if you're not willing to make that statement of loyalty, then don't ask me to baptize you. I won't do it. Okay, just like I won't perform a wedding ceremony for somebody that won't promise to forsake all others until death do you part. There has to be a change in loyalty. And if that change in loyalty is not there, you haven't been converted to Christ. But there's more to it than just that change in loyalty. Because, see, with the mouth, confession is made unto. Unto means in the direction of. It doesn't mean you've completed the transaction. There's more to be done. And you know what? If a young man's going to be married, not only does he have to have a change in his life, not only does he have to have a change in his heart that's before the change in life, but also a change in the loyalty, he has to have a change in his relationship. He can't, with God being pleased, just take up residence with a young woman and say, I love her and I'm going to live with her. He can't do that. You've got to meet whatever the law of the land requires in order to become legally married. You have to have a change in relationship. Every state that I've lived in requires, in order to make that change in relationship, that without living together and being in fornication and sexual immorality, that you have to have a wedding ceremony of some kind. And so you're going to have to meet the legal requirements, the law of the land, and make that change in relationship. And when you've done that, then you've changed relationship. And then you can enjoy the blessings of the marriage relationship. But not until then. If you haven't made that change in relationship, no matter how much you love that young woman, no matter how much you're around her, no matter how loyal you are to her, you don't have the right to enjoy the blessings of the marital relationship until you've made that change in relationship. And the same thing is true in being converted to Christ and becoming a Christian. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, we read, He, speaking of Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. There's a change in relationship. You leave the kingdom of Satan, you leave the power of God, and you enter the kingdom of the Son of His love. You enter the kingdom of Jesus Christ. A change in relationship. How does that change in relationship take place? Well, if you don't know how, look at Romans chapter 6, verse 3. This is one of two verses in the Bible that tell you how to get out from outside of Christ to inside of Christ. Now, I'm not going to take the time to cover the other one, but I tell you, look it up on your own. It's Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. That's the only other passage besides Romans 6, verse 3, that tells you how to leave the kingdom of darkness and come into the kingdom of His dear Son. Romans 6, verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? It is the benefits of His death, which of course is the forgiveness of sins and the hope of life eternal. How do you leave the world and gain interest into Christ? How do you make that change in relationship? By going through a likeness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By being baptized into Him. And when you do this, then you've been converted. You've made all four steps, just like that young man made that final step to become a married man. You've made the final step to become a Christian, to being one who is in Christ. I want you to see the parallel in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The apostle Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Notice though what he said. Repent plus baptism equals remission of sins. Now that's the first recorded sermon by the Apostle Peter. The second recorded sermon of the Apostle Peter is Acts chapter 3. Notice what he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Now, I want you to see how parallel these are. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent. Acts 3:19, repent. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, be baptized. Acts 3:19, be converted. Acts 2:38, forgiveness of sins, remission of sins. Acts 3:19, sins blotted out. Acts 2:38, receive The gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 3:19, time for refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. He's saying the same thing in different words. Now back to the being converted. What step is it where you actually conversion is completed and you come from being outside of Christ to being inside of Christ and being able to enjoy the blessings that are in Christ Jesus, including the forgiveness of sins when you're baptized? If you've believed, repented, confessed your faith, then you're baptized. And then you've made that change in relationship. You've been converted. You're a Christian. Now what's the result of that? Well, the result is your sins are forgiven. You're a Christian. Look over at Acts chapter 26, verses 17 and 18. Here, the Apostle Paul is preaching to King Agrippa, and he's telling him what the Lord told him to do when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus. This is Acts 26, verses 17 and 18. The Lord said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them. See, there's turning. There's conversion. That word be converted means to be turned. To convert is to turn. To turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Why? That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith in me. The result of being converted is having all of your sins forgiven so that you can have the great inheritance of eternal life with God in Christ in heaven in there after a while. But the forgiveness is God's part. Only God can forgive sins. When Jesus forgave the sins of the man, you remember he was let down, they broke up a part of the roof of a house and let the man down on his pallet. But they wanted Jesus to heal him. But when they let him down, Jesus said, Son, your sins are forgiven you. And the Pharisees were aghast. Why? When Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, they said, why does this man speak blasphemies? Of course, they didn't know his nature, did they? Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? If I do something wrong to Joe Davis, and I want to be forgiven for that, who can forgive me? Can Kay say, well, I'll forgive you for Joe's sake? No, she can't do it. Joe has to forgive me. I wronged Joe. Sin is against God. The only one who can forgive us of our sins is God. We must do the things He tells us to do in order to be forgiven of our sins, and that's being converted. Now, then let me ask you something else. If I were to do something real bad against Joe, and it really hurt his feelings, and I could tell that it hurt his feelings, and Sandy said, you need to go apologize to Joe. And I would say, you know, I can just feel down in my heart that Joe's forgiven me. I've just got this feeling that Joe has forgiven me. Will that mean I was forgiven? No, what I feel about something is not evidence. You know, I may have eaten a good meal, just feel good. Just because I feel like some forgiveness doesn't take place in the mind of the sinner. Forgiveness takes place in the mind of God. And the only way I can know that God has forgiven me is if I do what He tells me to do in order to be forgiven. And that's being converted to Him by those four steps we've talked about. All right. In order to enjoy the blessings of marriage, one must go through all four of those steps, and then he can enjoy the blessings of marriage and be a successful married man and live to ripe old age and enjoy a marriage relationship and have his golden wedding anniversary. But first he has to go through all four of those steps in order to enjoy those blessings of the marriage relationship. And by the way, the same thing is true in becoming a Christian. That man must have a change of heart, a change of life, a change of loyalty, and a change of relationship, right? We all agree on that, don't we? And by the way, the same thing is true. If you want to have the blessings in Christ, forgiveness of sins, and an inheritance in heaven, eternal life, you must undergo those four changes. A change of heart, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. A change of life, you must repent of your sins. A change in loyalty, confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and a change of relationship, be immersed, be baptized in water, fall for the remission of your sins. If you do those things, then you're converted to Christ, you receive the inheritance, you receive the forgiveness of sins, you have the hope of eternal life. And so, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that time for refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Our song is number
263.
Number 263.